Today on Real Radio.
I was driving last night on the way home. It was late. There was some talk show. I never heard of the guy before in my life, but it was kind of a dumb thing. And somebody called in and said, you know what? I think this attack on Jesus is an indicator of the paganness of America. And the guy goes, are you calling America pagan? The guy, the radio host got all bent out of shape. And I thought, this guy is going to cave in on the radio. He's just going to start, oh, no, that's not what I meant.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, a feeling give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. We've been looking at the first 8 verses of chapter 15 as our teacher guides us through a mini-series called Take Your Positions, Everyone. Whether anyone likes it or not, each of us must take a position on Christ. When all is said and done, and we are faced with the question, what will you do with this man who is called Christ? The position we take on him better be the correct one. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in the conclusion of his series called Take Your Positions, Everyone.
It is significant that these rare glimpses into the heavenly temple which God has given us in the book of Revelation also shows us that it is an open temple, meaning now that there is nothing to keep man from the presence of God if he comes through Jesus Christ. It is the resurrected human flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, which is now the veil that both contains the glory of God and conceals its unapproachable brilliance from sinful man. Jesus' life now, Jesus' skin, resurrected Christ is the veil. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 22 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Church, look, we don't get this. You know what? We don't understand this. If I were to read this verse right here, chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 19, if I were to stand and read this in Israel today, people would either start crying with joy or they'd pick up stones to kill me. It's one way or the other. The Bible says, listen, you have the boldness now to enter into the holiest place of all, the presence of God. Why don't we spend more time praying and worshiping and walking in the Spirit? Think about it. By a new and living way, verse 20, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. Remember that veil? That is to say, his flesh. And now, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Speaking of the Bible, the Word of God. Come boldly. You don't need to tiptoe into the presence of God anymore. This week, I was having a meeting, and my door was shut here at the church. We were having a meeting, and my daughter, she peeked through the window, and she's looking, and she needed to talk to me. And I motioned to her to come on in. She came on in, and I said, Ashley, don't ever knock on my door again. Ever. And don't peek through the window. If you want to talk to me, I don't care what's going on in this office. You come right in. That's how it is in the family of God. When the Lord says, look, what I did on the cross opened the way, it rent the veil of the earth. The temple came crashing down, so to speak. It opened the door when I died to let all men in. And when we walk in, we should just walk in. Hi, Dad. Hi, Dad, I need $5 for lunch. Hey, Lord, I need $5 to pay my mortgage. Whatever it is, right? We don't need to knock. Lord, can I talk to you now? If you prayed like that, Lord, can I bother you? Remember, he's the one that said, call me Father. Not only that, he said, call me Abba. And I love it. And when you say Abba, in fact, if you have an Italian Bible, when it comes to that word Abba, do you know what it is in Italian? Papa. Call me Papa. So tender, isn't it? Don't you see the kids crawling up into the lap of a jolly, happy, loving dad? And he says, call me Papa. That's about as tender as you can get. Britt Merrick, you all know Britt and little Isaiah. Whenever I'm around or I'm coming up to the door or whatever the case might be, or they're coming over to the house, Britt will tell Isaiah, there's Papa Jack. That's my name, Papa Jack. And just that invitation means let's hug each other. Let's love on each other. God says, come here. What are you standing out there for? Get in here. I love that. You are so accepted by God because of what Jesus did. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I did this weekend. I don't want to know. But Jesus knows. And he says, hey, you know what? Come to me. I'll deal with that sin. I'll wash it away. Come on in. He never leaves anybody out on the porch. Come on in. His wrath is measured. Verse 7, then one of the four living creatures gave the seven angels seven golden bowls, those trays full. Full. This word in Greek means that it has been measured out, listen, to the nth degree. Not one bit of wrath too much, not one bit of wrath too less. Perfect judgment. Because God is merciful, God is righteous, God is holy, and He will not judge the world one moment beyond, and He cannot judge the world one moment less. Because He is absolutely holy, which we cannot even begin to fathom. Verse 8 brings us to the fifth and final point. It is the will of God. Take your positions. Everyone is the message. Remember, everything's put into place. The will of God. The will of God is perfect, my friend, in all of its ways. It says in verse 8, the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. The world has never seen such glory. The world has never seen such power. And because they haven't seen it, the only way you can't even begin to entertain it is if we sit and meditate as Christians upon the Word of God, which is a lost art today. We don't sit and meditate upon the Bible. We need to take a verse and listen, read it slowly, speak it, close our eyes, speak it out in our private devotional time. For God so loved the world. To meditate on that would be like this, for God, for, because, on the account of, it is a fact, a truth undeniable, God, the glory of God, the nature of God, the righteousness of God, God Himself. For God so loved, not God loved, He so loved. I love you versus I so love you. Hear the difference? For God so loved. God is love. Lord, I need love. I don't care if this morning you're the littlest, frailest guy or the biggest woman, or the littlest woman or the biggest guy. How macho you might be or how wimpy you might be. Every one of us requires love to function. And God says, I so love you. How much? That at Christmas, I gave. You didn't earn it. You didn't ask for it. I thought of it myself. I gifted you my eternal, exclusive, forever, prized possession. The one alone who's exalted. The Word is begotten. My begotten. Son, that whosoever, who? Whosoever. Well, who's that? Who? Who you? Who? Did I just turn green when I said that? I don't know if God would save me and God would forgive me for all the stuff that's gone on in my life. You are a who. Whosoever. Will you? Yes. Then you are a whosoever. Will you cry out to him? Then whosoever would believe on him. The word belief here in John 3:16 is to run up and throw yourself into a seat. You never run up to a seat and go, oh, I hope it can hold me. No, you throw yourself onto a seat because you don't even think about it. And when you walked in this morning, did you go, I don't know if this seat can hold me? You didn't think about it, huh? You want to know why? You trusted completely in that seat. You say, well, I didn't even think about it. That's it. If you walk around going, I got to trust the Lord. Oh, I got to trust God. Is he trustworthy? I think, yeah, I got to trust the Lord. You're hurting. You need your faith pumped up. Because to trust him is to just walk up and to sit down. That's what that word believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. See, we're meditating right now in this service. We are meditating on the word of God. John 3:16. You can spend 30, 40 minutes sitting like this. And you know what happens? If you do what I'm just showing you quickly right here, right now, you will walk out of your bathroom or your closet or your bedroom or your living room or wherever you're at, your office, you'll come out glowing. That's what happened to Moses. He's in the presence of God, came down and put a bag over his face. The unknown prophet. Because he was glowing and he didn't want the people of Israel to see his face from shining. Oh, I say, take off the bag. Just take the bag off and shine. And so shine that even this unbelieving pagan world would glorify God. I was driving last night on the way home. It was late. There was some talk show. I never heard of the guy before in my life, but it was kind of a dumb thing. And somebody called in and said, you know what? I think this attack on Jesus is an indicator of the paganness of America. And the guy goes, are you calling America pagan? The guy, the radio host got all bent out of shape. And I thought, this guy is going to cave in on the radio. He's just going to start, oh, no, that's not what I meant. And the guy goes, yeah, I guess that's exactly what I'm saying. America is pagan when it rejects Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas. And I'm driving, and I was tired. It had been a long weekend, and I'm driving. I'm like, yes, yes. Nobody was with me, but I'm driving. Yes, thank you, Lord. You know, that's true. See, we've modernized the whole thing. We don't want God, and we were going to be humanist, and we're evolutionist, and there is no God. You can't call me pagan. That hurts my feelings. You are a pagan. I love the way John Corson says pagan. Have you heard him? Pagan. He can't say pagan. He says, and you are a pagan. That's maybe more accurate. Pagan. Pagan. Sorry, if I offended anybody, I'm very glad about that. The temple of God. Listen, quickly, we'll be ending with this. Jot it down. It'll bless you. By the way, again, listen, if any of you, and I know many of you are in this church, all three services, many, many people, precious people, they go to the local Catholic churches for Mass on Sundays or Saturday, and then they come here for Bible study. I know you do because you tell me, and I'm glad you're here. Having said that, listen to what the book of Hebrews says, and this is for all of us, not just our Catholic friends this morning. Keep this in mind. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 through 5. Ready? Now, this is the main point of which the things we say to you are. We have such a high priest. By the way, it's the high of the highest. Ain't no other. Okay? Who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, or the true temple, which the Lord erected, and not man. For every high priest is appointed, that is appointed by man, to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one, capital O, one, Jesus, also have something to offer. Verse 4, Hebrews chapter 8. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the things in heaven. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, God said, see to it that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. The pattern. God showed Moses, go down and make the Ark of the Covenant and the layout of the Holy of Holies exactly as you've seen the vision that I showed you of the one in heaven. It's a copy. Anything on earth is just a copy. Are you with me? You understand that? It's just a copy. Well, yeah, but I've been to the Vatican. I have too. Oh, but I saw the holy door. I was right there. I knocked on it. It didn't open, but I knocked on it. Oh, but I saw this and I saw that. Or I've been to the Russian Orthodox Church or the Greek Orthodox Church. I understand that. But God says those are just copies of what's eternal that lasts forever. Okay? Why mess around with a copy when you can go direct? Why would you fly Southwest Airlines to New York and stop 45 times when you could fly from LA to New York on a direct flight? Go direct. For there is one mediator, the Bible says, between mankind and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Fly direct. When you say, Lord, he's going, yes. Go direct. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 2. Down to verse 14. For a tabernacle was prepared. This is the one of the earth that Moses built. The first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies, or the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid. Remember that? Spielberg made a great model of it in Indiana Jones. Very, very accurate. And all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that had budded, and the tablets of the covenant, or the Ten Commandments. And above it were the cherubim, that's the two angels, of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, that's the lid to the box. Of these things we cannot speak in detail. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year. That's the Holy of Holies. Only once a year he was allowed in there. And not without blood. He had to go in there with blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Verse 8. The Holy Spirit was indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifested while the first temple was standing, or the first tabernacle. The one of the earth. Verse 9. Everybody in verse 9, you're looking at me. Don't look at me. Look at Hebrews 9:9. It will blow your mind. Hey, Hebrews 9:9, it will blow your mind. We should put that on a bumper sticker. Why? It was symbolic for the present time in which gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect or forgiven in regard to his conscience. Verse 11. But Jesus Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with human hands, that is not of this world, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the holy place once and for all. Once. Jesus offered up himself one time. He only had to die once. That's why the Christian cross never has Jesus on the cross. Did you know that? He offered himself once on the cross. The Christian cross never has Jesus crucified on the cross. It's always a bare cross because he's not offered up again and again. The Bible says he offered himself up once. Having obtained eternal redemption, verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean and sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit offered himself without spot to God the Father, there's the Trinity mentioned right there, by the way, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Did anybody get that? Do you got that? How glorious is this? We can be camping in the desert and enter into the presence of God. You can be sitting on your surfboard and enter into the presence of God. All you have to do is say, Father, and imagine in your mind's eye, all of a sudden, Father, and wham, the street opens up before you. Angels are there. The glory of God shines. There's a molten sea of glass with the illumination of fire beneath, the presence of God. Father, in this glory, he says, Jack, come up here, buddy. How are you? Come here. Talk to me. Don't ever knock on the door again, you silly nut. Get on in here. What would you have me to do for you, Jack? You need power? Holy Spirit, come upon him today and strengthen him. You need the word? I'll call it to your remembrance. I'll give you what to say in that moment, Jack, when you don't have a moment to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. I'll give you a moment. In that moment, I'll give you what to say for me. What do you need? Assurance? I'll never leave you or forsake you. You having some doubts? My thoughts toward you are for good, to bring your life to a full, complete, glorious end. What's that? You've sinned? If you confess your sin to me, I'm faithful and just to cleanse you from your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What's that? Feeling kind of old and creaky and tired? Don't you know, Jack, remember that this mortal shall put on immortality, Jack. Remember that where you're going, there's neither tear nor pain nor death. And should somebody come with a sword and place it on my neck to cut my head off, the Lord says to me, as he said to Paul, don't worry about it. For laid up for you is a crown of righteousness that the righteous judge I will give you. And not only you, Jack, but to all those who have loved my appearing. Cheer up. Though the world might cut your head off, I'm going to put a crown upon it. You know, he said that to Paul, and Paul was going to go get beheaded. Now, I'm sure Paul was not thinking, well, what good is a crown when your head's 6 feet over there? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, explaining the great hope of every true born-again believer in the true Christ. Take your positions, everyone. That's the title of this mini-series taken from Revelation 15. Now, if you've struggled with the work and person of Christ, it's probably a good thing, a sign that God the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. You see, doubt can often play a role in a solid conversion if it drives us to examine the facts. And that's the very reason why we're offering a presentation by Pastor Jack Hibbs in a double DVD set called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? The question isn't, do we struggle with doubt? It's why we struggle with doubt. Pastor Jack gives us 10 reasons why we all struggle with doubt, and this DVD set is yours for a tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount. We'll be glad to send it your way. Just remember to ask for it by name when you get in touch. Why do we struggle with doubt? Now, there's more than one way to contact us. Let's start with our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. And of course, you can find all of our contact information at www.realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.